Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori.
And this is time number 3 starting over.
You know what? It's my fault, because I was getting all braggy about how great we were doing. Look at us. It only took us like 10 minutes to get started. But oh, that's what I get for thinking I had it figured out.
Like 5 years from now, when we're like actually like experts at this, we're still going to be, I think, doing that.
I think we will. Oh my gosh.
But that's okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
Everything's fine. The world is on fire.
We are very cozy, though, sitting on a futon with Silas between us under a blankie.
Yes, definitely. This is the way to podcast, folks.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute since we have recorded. I think maybe our last episode was
in Boston.
Yeah, so end of October, and now we are end of November. So, my goodness. You know, we're busy, busy doing all the things, doing life, and, you know, starting, running, operating fully all the things, our nonprofit organization, which is really exciting. If you don't follow us on social media, you may not have heard that we officially have our 501c3 status from the IRS.
Yay.
So that was a really big deal for us, a really big accomplishment.
So for those of you who don't know, that means that we are officially a tax-exempt organization.
Yeah.
So people can write off donations.
Yeah. So it's very cool. We're really excited about it. It's a really big step in our nonprofit life.
Yes.
So on that note, though, we wanted to talk a bit about kind of the path to how we got here. We did an episode a while back that we never actually published called The Path to Advocacy, because it, I don't know, I think like other things were happening. I think Grace maybe had just like effed something up, and we didn't ever publish it because it was whatever, something was more pressing. But we sit here today, and just kind of have been processing through what it is that brought us to this place of starting a nonprofit, of doing this work beyond just having a podcast and telling my story and safety. And while all of that is still very much alive and active and needs to be done, safety planning and, you know, putting offenders on notice and fighting a lawsuit, all of the things, you know, we are also moving into this space of, okay, it's not just about me. What about everybody else? What about all these other survivors that we've heard from? What about the kids that are coming after us, the kids that we know are in a family-controlled trafficking situation, or kids that we have concern for?
And as we dive deeper and educate ourselves further beyond the Western New York, further beyond Kate's experience, it becomes all the more clear all the time that this is a pretty big problem.
Yeah, yes. Very, very, very big. So again, if you don't follow us on any social media platforms, you may have missed some of the statistics that we've posted. We have been educating ourselves, but what we know is that 42% of all human trafficking survivors in a international study, 42% of survivors that were asked said that their trafficking began in their family. So 42%.
And you just quoted a statistic to me this morning by Dr. Michael Salter that 1 in 5 women who seek counseling for sexual abuse ultimately disclose an organized abuse experience.
Right, which means that there was multiple perpetrators that were working together to sexually abuse these people, like one or more children. Which, again, if we look at the idea of organized abuse, that ultimately leads us into the trafficking element, because the only thing that makes organized abuse and trafficking different is the commercial aspect of it, so the exchange of money. So yeah, the statistics do not lie. And the further that we've dove into them ourselves, the more that we have just been so clear and so confident in the work that we are doing with our nonprofit, and the work that we are doing to advocate on behalf of other survivors and other victims, and creating this safer space for them to come forward, for them to seek help, for them to be noticed and helped and pulled out of those situations. So, but yeah, so we've been reflecting a lot though of like, how do we get here, right? How do we get to from two fools doing a podcast, which, you know, you may be able to still say, I guess, but
I think so.
Yeah.
But yet we're two fools doing a podcast who are out here just taking the next step.
Yeah. And so part of our episode today is wanting to talk about that, and then also to challenge our listeners to do the same. I think,
I just want to say, I think we have a hard time with this episode. So I think people may be hearing us be a little bit like, I don't know, trying to find our words in a way that we don't usually, because neither one of us are particularly comfortable talking about, like, look at us, look at what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yet we are doing the thing, and we do want to encourage people to do the thing too. And this is our thing, and we are obviously very much hoping that people will get on board with us, but find your thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever your thing is that is going to have you investing in the greater good, please do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we've said it a million times. If we said it once, we said it a million times. We never, ever set out to do this thing that we're doing, right? We set out to provide safety, to put the offenders on notice, to put it out into the universe, because if the threats that they were threatening, that they are threatening, that they do threaten, actually came to fruition, and the worst case scenario should happen, I wanted it to be in my words, my own voice out there saying what my story was, what my experience was, so that nobody could ever deny that reality. That is where we started. And now where we are, again, we just kept doing the next right thing, right? Now I feel like I should sing like a Frozen song or something. You know that song from the...
No,
you don't. Sing.
Will you sing it for me?
Hell no. Heck no. Absolutely okay. Not. But for all for all those people who know Frozen 2, the next right thing. Okay, anyways. We might want to cut that.
Nope, not happening. You're going on record as knowing the Frozen songs.
Well, because I have kids. Anyways, but we just kept doing the next right thing. We just kept doing the next step. We kept saying, okay, this door opened, and so we'll walk through it. And this door closed, and so we'll find a window. And we kept just kind of doing that. But that takes a certain kind of person, and that takes a certain kind of stamina to be able to do that. And a lot of times what we have found is that there are not enough people in the world who have that kind of stamina and have that kind of endurance to be able to do that. It's very easy to stay in your comfort zone. It's very easy to continue doing what you're doing and just living your life for you and, you know, stay on the path that is been laid out easily for you and, you know, the people around you.
It's what I've said as the 20-60-20 rule. And it's very anecdotal, but my feel of it is 20% of the people in the world are doing what we're talking about here, which is that you see what is happening around you and actively seek to find a way to make a positive effect in it. 20 people are at the other end of the spectrum actively trying to do evil. And then there's 60% of people in the middle kind of floating around. Mm-hmm. And we're here to encourage the top 20%. Yes, keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Invest yourself. It is worth it. And we're here to encourage some of those people in the 60% to get on the train.
Yeah. Get on the train, folks.
Get on the train.
Get on the train. Right. Because here's the reality is that those 60% of people, I don't math, so I don't know what percentage of them are survivors, right? But survivors of any type of violence or any type of anything, any type of victim or survivor, is not given a choice as to whether or not they're going to do the hard thing or survive the hard thing. They just do, or they don't, unfortunately, but they if they have survived, and we are now calling them a survivor, they have just done the hard thing. They endured the hard thing. They experienced the hard thing.
And are figuring out how to get on with their lives and do the next right thing.
Exactly. So they don't have a choice, but the rest of the world does have a choice. And so, again, it's like, are we going to get out of our own way and out of our own comfort zones to be able to say, I'm going to do this uncomfortable thing. I'm going to
face down the hard and still find ways of doing good.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we going to do that? Because it is hard.
Yeah.
And we're not going to pretend like it's not, right? What we say in our intro is we're not going to try to pretty it up. It is hard, but it is so worthwhile because it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. And I feel like, yeah, we can't, there's no way to encapsulate the difference that we are, that we get to see. Like, I keep racking my brain as, you know, the founders and CEO of this organization, I keep racking my brain of like, how do we encapsulate the difference, the ripple that we're watching happen? And we get to watch it happen. And that's amazing. And I genuinely am like, if you have suggestions, I would love to hear them, because I don't know how to put that into a form that people can see. But we are seeing the ripple effect of that. We are seeing, again, we go to these trainings and we give these presentations and we hear people who have been doing this work for decades say to us, I didn't know and now I do. And so now I'm going to do something different because of that, right? There are adults who are going to show up for kids in a really different way than if they hadn't heard this information. That's a ripple. And like, we might never see the full extent of what that does, but what we are seeing is pretty incredible just all by itself, right?
Yeah. I'm over here thinking about how to make that concept something that people can grab hold of if they've not had that direct experience. And so I can think of a few things. One is, if you've ever been in a space where you feel somewhat invisible and somebody sees you. Somebody, it could be something as small as they bring you a cup of tea, or they say, hey, you look like you're having a hard day. You know, you want to tell me what's going on? Anything, what a difference that makes. So that's kind of an adjacent experience. It's also, this is totally separate from this realm, but if you've ever had like a project that you're working on, house project, you're painting a room, you're like whatever, redecorating, building something, you have a vision for it. And then when you start to actually see it coming together, the enormity of that. And then when, like, if you've, I don't know, built something or renovated, and then you see people enjoying the space and you're having something positive happen in that space, that again, that's a tiny little microcosm of kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes a difference to invest your energy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, to invest your energy into something that now you can watch it become something amazing. I guess that's why people garden. I have a brown thumb. I kill every plant I encounter.
Is that a brown thumb?
Black thumb? Brown thumb?
I don't know, but I don't think either one of those are correct.
You don't think?
It might be like a grade 5 steal situation. I'm not sure.
I kill plants. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no live plants in my house.
Don't call it a brown thumb. That doesn't sound
good. No, it doesn't. Oh, this is a total aside. I hope there's no one who works in my building who listens, because, okay, so in the building where my office is, somehow, some way, the paper towel holder came off the wall. And rather than repair the wall, this is just what they do in the building. They put a painting up over it. And I had somebody come in to see me and they were like, why did someone put up a painting of poop in the bathroom? Because I think it's supposed to be like, you know, like sea glass, red sea glass, but it literally looks like a pile of poop.
Do you think they knew that when they put the painting
in? I don't think they did. Or they have any incredible sense of humor and we need to be their friend.
Yeah, let's find that person.
Okay, we might cut all that because it's kind of squirrels in traffic.
Squirrel.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyhow.
Okay. So the whole point of all of this, though, is really to just, we want this episode to be essentially a call to action. Hopefully we'll get to post this episode today, the day that we're recording it. And today happens to be Giving Tuesday, but also we are in the middle of giving season. And the reality is, it doesn't take a monetary donation. The idea is just this global movement of generosity, right? So what does that mean? That means talking about hard things. That means getting out of your comfort zone and making a donation. That means getting out of your comfort zone and volunteering somewhere that you wouldn't otherwise normally do. That means, you know, that person who's like super neutral on all these things that you know in Western New York and like is like, oh, yeah, like I don't want to get involved. Actively engage them in conversation and be like, but why not? Right. Have the hard conversations, have the difficult, like, bringing awareness in your circle of influence.
And if you've been listening to the podcast at this point, hopefully you have enough of the data points to be able to say, to answer the negativity or to answer whatever the comments are that are coming at you from neutral people or negative people. Yeah. Because, okay, wait, let's do that quote.
The only thing that's necessary for evil to triumph in the world is for good men to do nothing.
Right. And so that also includes people who are avoiding the uncomfortable conversation, right? Yep. We need to be having those conversations. And maybe, honestly, at the end of the day, whoever you're talking to won't change their mind, but you will still have had the direct conversation. And maybe that's practice for you for having the next uncomfortable conversation mm-hmm. that will make a difference with somebody.
Yes. I think it's very easy for people to say, and we've heard quite often, it's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. And we're not at all going to deny that. Listen, like, we live our lives in a general state of overwhelm right now. Mm-hmm. We have been for a long time, right? Like, I don't matter.
Forever for you.
Forever, right? Yes, it has been forever. And there is this general state of overwhelm. So it's not that we don't understand that, but some people come to us and say, I'm really overwhelmed by all this. And so I can't. I can't listen to the podcast. I can't, you know, engage. I can't get involved. I can't volunteer. I can't blah, blah, blah.
And if you are a survivor and you are still needing to do your healing work, that makes complete and total sense.
Exactly.
But if you are a regular person who honestly just is having a hard time being uncomfortable, I think we have to recognize that when something is hard and we perceive it as too hard, we really do have two options. You can take the path of, I'm going to turn away because I don't want to feel this way. It's too hard, avoidance. Or I can commit to building my capacity so I can show up and keep going.
Yeah.
And frankly, we're trying to help people who are maybe saying, I can't, become people who say, okay, I guess I need to figure out how to build my resilience so that I can do the hard thing. I mean, think I've said this before too. Not only do victims not get to say no thank you, but what if you're a parent who has a disabled child? Like, mm-hmm. you don't get to just say, this is too hard, therefore I'm not going to. I mean, I understand some people do, but most don't. And so what do? They build capacity. Mm-hmm. They build resilience. They build a team. They developed emotional regulation skills so they can do the hard things and keep going. So mm-hmm. we just want to encourage you to believe that you can.
Yeah.
And there are people out there listening who are doing that, and in your own sphere, perhaps. Maybe we're not meeting you because you're already doing that over here and you're on the journey with us, but from afar because you've already got other things going on. Yay. That's great. Amazing. Keep doing that.
Right.
We're trying to help the people who maybe are afraid to try, I guess is what I feel like. They're afraid that it's going to be too hard. We want to encourage you to believe that you can. Everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm. There's a Daniel Tiger song about that too. Do you know about Daniel Tiger?
I know about Daniel Tiger. You've introduced me. Okay. Yes. Well. I thought it was like the Mr. Rogers Daniel Tiger.
It is. It's the Rogers company produced it.
Right. Yes.
We've talked about this.
See, I knew I remembered. We are like everyone being all kinds of random today. We are being all the random.
Anyways.
Okay.
We met someone recently who kind of was such a breath of fresh air for us in that she is someone who is like well into her career, potentially at the like maybe endish
three quarters of the way
through her career. Has been doing the hard thing since the beginning of her career, since
in the background, like not even like getting all the positive feedback.
No, just kind of picking away, you know, moving forward and doing the things, doing the next right thing. And she heard our training and she came to us and said, this is overwhelming. But she didn't say to us, this is overwhelming and we don't know what to do. She said, it's overwhelming because we have a lot of work to do. So we need to get to work. That is the response that I think is missing in that 60% of people. Mm-hmm. There are the top 20% who are absolutely saying, yeah, this is overwhelming, but let's get to work. But then there's a lot of people who are saying this is overwhelming, and so therefore I don't know what to do, and therefore I can't do anything. Right?
Right.
It's that falling into like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to not do anything.
Yep. But we're here to encourage people to know and remember that it's okay if you feel like you aren't ready to volunteer to support a survivor, we're going to continue to talk about kind of what does it take to really do that and do that in a way that is reliable. Maybe you can't do that. Okay. Maybe you can't give. Maybe you, okay, frankly, everybody has $5. Like, unless you never go to Starbucks, everybody's got $5. Every little bit counts. Okay. But maybe you don't, you're not in a position to give. Okay. Can you share information?
Right. Can you share on social media? Share the statistics. Again, your voice makes an impact. Yes. Your voice has a ripple effect. Talk about it in your circle of influence. Bring up the conversation. Be actively engaging with people who are on the fence or who are neutral, right? Actively engage them and say, do you know? We have all kinds of resources on our website and on our social media platforms to help you do that, right? Or if you need help, oh my God, reach out to us. We would be thrilled to tell you all the information that we can, that we retain in our heads about statistics and what this looks like.
So we may cut this because we didn't really talk about including this here, but we've also been talking about making time in our schedule, which is pretty overwhelming for us, but making time to attend parties, house parties, mm-hmm. not like crazy wild parties, but
I mean, if you want to throw a crazy wild party, like you go, you do you, we'll come.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
What is going on today?
I don't know. But anyway, but gatherings, let's try it that way.
Yeah.
We would like to make time in our schedule to attend gatherings that people arrange where they invite their friends to hear more information mm-hmm. about this. And if you know somebody who wants to do something like that,
yeah.
reach out to us.
Reach out. We would be happy to provide the information anywhere in the country, actually.
Right.
We'll come to you.
Right.
Yeah, it's really just the idea of everyone can do something. Mm-hmm. This matters because it is so much bigger than the ugly truth about the girl next door. It is so much bigger than me and my experience.
So this next part is maybe a little heavy and a little has the feels tied to it because I think maybe it's because we're coming off of Boston and the enormity of sort of experiencing the reality that we are truly making this ripple. But I think it really struck us that this all could have really gone very differently, but for some factors that we can't quite even put our finger on.
Yeah.
Like you've said to me that you had other appointments with other therapists before me.
Yeah. I'm so sorry if I did have an appointment with you and I just bailed because I did that multiple times because I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it work.
Right. But somehow you ended up in my office mm-hmm. for reasons that aren't explainable because there were many reasons not to, including the fact that my face was on the big screen at the chapel the week before. And we have tried to talk through, like, what was it that happened or didn't happen that allowed you to come back and then allowed you to come back again and allowed you to come back and talk about more. And I mean, we can point to some factors, which are the things that we're sharing about how to be a safe person to a survivor, but it also, I think, still feels like there were so many ways that it could have not gone this way. And we have a dynamic between us that is kind of unexplainable. Mm-hmm. We can't really explain it. We just know it. And other people have commented on it. We're both capable of being articulate. And this is not at all like a look at us, look at me. It's just a statement of fact. It's like saying my hair used to be brown and now it's gray.
It's not. It's not because of Carissa. Thank you, Carissa.
Carissa.
Hello. Okay. Yes to all of that. I also think that the sad and scary part of that reality, though, is the scary part is like what if it hadn't gone that way, right? Like I can't even think about that. Like I can't even think about what if I hadn't found you. What if I hadn't found – what if I didn't have what it took? What if I couldn't – leave? What if I couldn't have walked away from that situation and never looked back? Right? Like but I couldn't have done that without your support. I couldn't, like, you were it. Like, you know what I mean? And so I couldn't have done that. And so what if I hadn't found you? And then the sad part of it that I have to sit with a lot is I did. And I'm so grateful that I did, but holy crap, are there so many survivors out there who never do. Who never find their person, who never can break that contact, who never get out safely, or who get out safely and then get roped back in, or who are just forever living with the the impact of that, which we all are, right? All survivors are forever living with the impact of that, regardless of how articulate or put together or whatever I may seem in a public setting or on a podcast episode. I will forever be dealing with the impact of all of my life. But there are survivors who are dealing with that by themselves. I am not dealing with it by myself. I have Lori. I have a husband who loves me. I have a family that supports me. I'm not doing it by myself, but there are a crap ton of survivors who are. And so that's the sad. And the only way to move through that sad is to say, okay, so what are we going to do about that though? And so that is literally the entire goal of our nonprofit. That is the only reason that we wake up every day and deal with the IRS to
endless forms
to jump through to maintain said nonprofit. The reason we do all of that is for those survivors who have not found their person, so that we can create a safer space, so that we can create a conversation, a world where survivors easily find their person. There's an abundance of people who hold the information, who know what they're looking for and what they're looking at when they see it, who know how to be a safe support and who can stand in the wind, because that's really what it takes. And there are not enough people like that. So that's the whole idea.
Right. The whole idea is you have to be willing to get out of your lane, right? If I had stayed in my tidy space, Kate would not have trusted me enough to let me help her get to the place that we're at.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to be uncomfortable and be in the mess with the person we're seeking to support. And we're here to just encourage everybody listening, be willing to do the next uncomfortable thing, whatever that looks like.
Right. Yeah, and that might not be standing right in the middle with a survivor. You might not even know a survivor. Chances are that you actually do and you don't know that you do, but...
But you will if you start giving off the feel that you can hold it.
Exactly. And right, again, maybe we don't start there. Maybe you start by donating $5 to an organization like Mezzo. And maybe it's not Mezzo. Maybe it's another organization doing similar work, right? Or maybe it's volunteering somewhere where survivors are receiving help. Or
maybe it's talk to your neighbor down the street who sometimes seems lonely or out of sorts or has a developmental challenge and nobody seems to talk to them. Like, maybe it's start with something uncomfortable, yeah. I think is the point of this conversation, is do something that gets you out of your comfort zone. The people who are listening, I think, do care about doing good. It starts with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. On that note.
On that note. I think I have a Silas hair in my throat.
That being said, though, I feel like we always end with we're so grateful. But we really genuinely mean that. We don't just say that like we're so grateful. In that voice. We definitely don't use that voice.
Never.
But we are. We're so grateful for the people that have come alongside us. We're so grateful for the spaces that we have really recently been able to inhabit that are this breath of fresh air. We're so grateful for the people that have been doing the uncomfortable things, that have been saying the hard yes and walking alongside us for a long time. And we're so grateful for the air holes in what feels like sometimes the toxic box of just living this life.
Well, and I guess this is as good a place as any to say, we really are aware that this is information that needs to move beyond Western New York, that needs to move beyond Boston, mm-hmm. right? They're hearing from us. And so both the call to action to be out of your comfort zone and invest yourself in something meaningful beyond yourself, but also the message about family-controlled exploitation and organized sexual abuse. So if you are someone who lives away from New York, please share our information. Be in touch with your social service providers. Be in touch with your child advocacy centers. Let them know that this exists out there and that they need to start listening.
And well, ask the question. We posted in our nonprofit's social media today, like, are you asking your local school districts, how they're educated about this, if they're educated on this, right? I literally, we're dealing with this even, you know, in our local school districts of, I heard recently of a teacher who was using parent-teacher conferences coming up as a way to threaten her class to behave, right? It was this, the idea was, remember that I'm going to tell your parents all the things that you're doing wrong right now when parent-teacher conferences come up next week, which has all the triggers and all the feels. And again, so clearly that individual, that teacher is not educated on these things. So ask your local school districts if they're educated, how they've been educated and what they know about it. Ask your healthcare providers, ask your local CACs, right, what they're doing to educate themselves on this information. Be uncomfortable. That's the reality.
Be uncomfortable. It's worth it.
It is worth it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
As always.
If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.